ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts.
Oilers got the matchup they wanted. Rangers having trouble changing here. McDavid, beautiful move. In on what can you say?
Even if you're not a hockey fan, you've seen the highlights. Connor McDavid scoring what has to be the goal of the year in the NHL. Until, you know, he goes out and does it again. The Edmonton Oilers center is, quite simply, one of the most dominant athletes in sports at this moment. And fulfilling his promise not just as a hockey prodigy, but as one of the game's all-time greats. So today, ESPN's resident puckhead John Buccigross is here to explain to the hockey faithful, the hockey casuals, the hockey curious, everything you need to know about the game's biggest star. I'm Emily Kaplan, in for Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, November 23rd. This is ESPN Daily.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
John Buccigross, Bucci Maine, the king of chicken parm. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We are underway in the NHL. Still kind of quiet in the sports world. You know, we're still kind of in the weeds with football. Football is that behemoth which eats up everything in its path. This is like warming up for March through June this year.
Right. We're warming up, but the hockey season is still going on, and there's some pretty incredible stuff happening. And that's why we have you on today, because you are the perfect person for today's episode.
Yes, I am.
We don't even need to give a reason. You are. But like me, you're a diehard puckhead. And I know you're also well-versed in explaining the sport to folks who aren't as steeped into the hockey world as we are. So our mission today, John, is to get those hockey-curious folks up to speed on a player who is doing things that I don't think we've ever seen before. And I'm talking about Connor McDavid, captain and center for the Edmonton Oilers. Before we get into who this guy is, I want to start by you finishing this sentence. Right now, watching Connor McDavid play hockey is...
it's exhilarating. You and I have seen millions of games. We've seen millions of players. Sometimes there's a sameness to it. It becomes wallpaper. And but he is just absolutely exhilarating.
Here's McDavid, centering pass, and that just went through Puljujärvi. Shot, Bouchard, save, rebound, score! McDavid on the doorstep, 1-0 Edmonton.
There's not a lot of athletes. Again, I've been doing this 25 years at ESPN, 32 years in my life in terms of a professional sports watcher, but I've been doing it since I was 7 years old as well that I can remember. So, and for someone to do this, you know, it's Barry Sanders. It's when we first saw Dominique Wilkins dunk in the NBA. It's just a speed and a power and a separation from the rest of the greatest at what he does that is just exhilarating and just mind-blowing, and it captivates, you know, almost on a nightly basis.
What he's doing is so brilliant that if you've been following sports in general, and maybe if you're not even the biggest hockey fan, you've heard the name Connor McDavid. But I do think people still might not know enough about him. So let's just start with the basics. Who is Connor McDavid, and where did he come from?
Yeah, he's a pretty much a quiet Canadian kid. You know, he's reserved, not terribly comfortable in his own skin off the ice, outside the rink, in terms of talking to the media. He's all business. He just wants to play hockey and play it obviously at 24 years, he's in the prime of his life. Those are the prime hockey years, 18, you know, to 26. People don't realize, yeah, I talk about when Bobby Orr went flying through the air with his Stanley Cup overtime winning goal in 1970, and when Wayne Gretzky scored his 92 goals, they were in their very early 20s. I call it the intersection. You know, first you have your ultimate athletic ability, then you have experience. Then for those few years, you have that experience where you still have your youth and your athleticism to its 100 level. And then you have experience as well. So the little intersection, that oval for a while, is when you own the game. And that's where he is now. You know, because it's a young person's game like it is with football, they start very young. So he's got, you know, he's got 424 games played. He's almost like he's almost at the 500 game mark, and he's 24 years old.
You mentioned he's 24 years old, which just seems wild to me because he seems like he's been around our radar for a while. Remember, he was granted exceptional player status by Hockey Canada, which meant he was allowed to enter the OHL draft at age 15 a year earlier. And by the time he entered the NHL draft back in 2015,
the Edmonton Oilers would like to select with their first pick from the Erie Otters, Connor McDavid.
What was the hype like around him?
North America, the world, loves prodigies. You know, we like chess prodigies. We like, you know, musicians who are prodigies. The 12-year-old violinist who's the best in the world. And athletically, we love prodigies. We knew about Tiger Woods, you know, well before he came onto the scene, especially those who were really into golf. So obviously, Connor's a prodigy. You know, he plays junior hockey for the Erie Otters. That's kind of cool. You know, we know this is the greatest player in the world. And he plays in Erie, Pennsylvania. Because of the rules, like you said, you have to do this at this certain age, this at this certain age, and this at this certain age. You can't be drafted till this age. But until they get to the NHL, they're still, fortunately, there's still a little bit of a mystery. Because there's been a lot of prodigies who have flamed out and not worked out and for whatever reason. And maybe going to Edmonton was the best thing for him from a quiet standpoint. I mentioned his personality. I suppose if maybe New York had won the lottery. Again, I don't think it would have mattered where he went because physically he's such a fast twitch freak. But, you know, maybe in the end that's how it all worked out. And that's been good for him. But it's been 7 years now. He's in the NHL. And it feels like he's just really bursting onto the scene where sports fans in America, and again, we've done a good job on SportsCenter at night. We have been kind of espousing Connor McDavid's amazing goals because we show highlights and we show in-progress highlights. And when I was on 11 o'clock at night, you know, that's second period in Edmonton or first period in Edmonton. So we've been the one that kind of showed these freaky goals. But now I feel like this is his moment where he's really bursting onto the scene.
So he's this hyped up prospect. You mentioned he's having a moment now in year seven. How would you describe the first 6 years of his career in the NHL?
It's been, unfortunately, like Mike Trout in baseball, you know, there's no postseason success. And what has happened with sports and sports consumerism and sports watching by the public is we've really become championship centric. But for him, he just hasn't had the postseason success yet. And obviously, ultimately raising that Stanley Cup over his head, which is the ultimate man cave picture all these players want in the basements of their palatial homes. So right now, it's just been regular season, individual mayhem, but not really team winning, playoff, and moments. And now he's going to have his shot. This is the best team he's played on. And so this is McDavid's year where can he win a round or two rounds and then advance in the spring? That's his next step.
So how would you describe McDavid on the ice? Like, what does he look like and what are his superpowers?
He looks like Gale Sayers in his rookie year in Chicago, Barry Sanders for the Detroit Lions, where he just makes those guys look foolish with his stop and start, his change of direction, his acceleration, and certainly LeBron, how physically throughout his career, he was just obviously stronger and bigger and fast, really fast, than everybody else. And you know, McDavid's not really going to have records, unfortunately, because you know, Wayne Gretzky played in the greatest offensive era in NHL history. So, you know, 92 goals and 220 plus points. We're not going to see that again. But in terms of relative to the rest of the field, pure talent and pure video watching, because Wayne never was that. Gretzky was never a physical freak. He wasn't the fastest guy on his own team. And so he didn't do it that way. He did it with the ultimate brain. Like, no one had a brain like Wayne Gretzky. McDavid, you can see it with your eyes. He's faster. It's like the old playground thing. I'm picking that guy because he's the best. And that's the best way to talk about sports in its most simplest form.
You've given me the perfect segue here because I think the reason that most sports fans know McDavid is that this guy seems to break the internet every other week now with these insane goals that combine his speed, acceleration, his control, his stick handling, that deft coast-to-coast movement. And the one that I think most of us saw against the New York Rangers 2 weeks ago.
Coming close. Here's McDavid. He scores! Oh, magical goal by Connor McDavid. Wow.
What made that goal specifically so unbelievable?
I think it had that perfect image, especially the still shots, of being surrounded by four professional hockey players. And at that moment, you know, the simple sentence, he ended up scoring a goal. If there were no players, it's hard to score a breakaway goal against an NHL goalie. They have the advantage. You know, the breakaway goals during games, goalies make more saves than players score, you know, just like in a shootout. They have the advantage. So that alone, if there were no Rangers around, the likelihood of him scoring is less than 50-50. But the fact he was surrounded by four professional hockey players and not only beat them, but then beat the goalie as well. Because that's the thing. There's so many almost highlights. I've always said on SportsCenter when I was doing that the last few years, we should have a segment like almost top 10 of all hockey plays. Hockey has so many of those moments. It's hard to score. There's not as much payoff, unfortunately, highlight-wise. So when you do pay it off like McDavid has now, really twice this year, but against the Rangers especially, that he, at one point he was in the middle of four professional hockey players and somehow beat them all and scored the goal at the end.
Our colleague Jeremy Schapp got to ask McDavid about that goal, and he was typically understated about it.
Would you mind describing in your own words the goal that tied it?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of fumbled the puck up high, and puck came out of the zone, so I had to take it out and just did a little loop and wait for guys to get onside, and just tried to catch their guys coming up, and tried to get through the guys and make a play.
McDavid's teammate and fellow star Leon Draisaitl summed it up in his native German.
Is there a word in German that you can use to describe that goal? One word.
Unglaublich. Unbelievable. And I could use more words for it too.
I was hoping for more syllables, but that's pretty good.
So, Bucci, McDavid scores this unbelievable goal, and then just a week later, he turns around and scores another goal of the year candidate against the Winnipeg Jets.
Speaking of Connor, here's McDavid, beat him in, shoots and scores! He's done it again! Coast to coast, and this game is tied!
Are you absolutely kidding me?
So I ask you, when you see these goals, and you think about the best players you've seen in the game, where does McDavid rank with the way he's playing right now?
Yeah, to me, he's right there at the very, very top. That Winnipeg goal, I thought in some ways was even better because that whole game had a playoff atmosphere. It was like a Canadian playoff game, almost like a mini tournament within the regular season. That was like what he wants to be involved in come springtime. Because that raises the best to new levels. That's when they're faster, it's when they're quicker, it's when they're stronger, when the game has their attention. That game had his attention. That's why he wants to play in the postseason. That's why we want to see him in the postseason, because he'll be faster in the postseason. Mike Trout will be stronger in the postseason. And that's why we want to see the best in the postseason, because those games have their attention.
All right, after the break, we will talk about the Edmonton Oilers' chances this season to hoist the Stanley Cup, and what I believe to be the central crisis facing hockey these days, does the NHL need to do a better job protecting its stars like McDavid?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, Bucci, we mentioned that Connor McDavid is off to this awesome start to the season, and the Oilers are too. As a squad, they are 13-4 on top of the standings in the Western Conference, and it's been a long rebuild for the Oilers. They have won the draft lottery three times since 2010, but they've made very few playoff appearances in the last couple seasons. So what are you seeing from Edmonton so far this season, and how far could this team go?
Well, during one of the games early in the season, I sent Kenny Holland a text.
Kenny Holland, the GM of the Edmonton Oilers.
Correct. I said, Kenny, you're a cup contender. he texts me back, you think so? when you're a GM, you see all the warts, right? You, how can I make this team better? Until the deadline, it's just, that's all he thinks about. And so, you know, obviously they got to make a couple of moves, and he knows that. But this is undoubtedly the best team that McDavid has been on in his young professional career. Off to a great start. Dave Tippett's the coach, experienced. He's been there before. He's seen it all. He coached an offensive team in Dallas, and he had to go defense in Arizona. He's done it all. He knows how to win. So it's really going to come down to what is available at the deadline. What are they willing to mortgage? Because again, this is the McDavid window. You know, they definitely need some help on the blue line. They need some bottom six scoring depth. I just don't know if it's there right now. They'll be able to shut down, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, probably at least limit them. And then can the rest of the group pick up the pace? But certainly when I look at the teams around the league, I really think the league, there's a huge amount of parity. There's multiple teams that can win the cup, like maybe 10 to 12. But I really do believe the Edmonton Oilers, this is their chance.
So we've spent this entire time hyping up Connor McDavid, and it might surprise some of the listeners to find out that he doesn't lead the league in points or goals. His teammate, Leon Draisaitl, does. He is scoring at an outrageous pace.
Side of the net, Nugent Hopkins in front, rolled off a leg. Out to McDavid. What Tyler score? Leon Draisaitl. And Edmonton has regained the lead 3-2. That's Draisaitl's 200th National Hockey League goal.
And Bucci, this to me seems like the best offensive tandem we've seen in the league since Jaromir Jagr and Mario Lemieux with the Penguins in the 1990s. I want to know first if you agree with that assessment, and also if you think it's possible that at the end of this season, McDavid and Draisaitl could both finish as MVP finalists like Jagr and Lemieux did as teammates back in the day.
Yeah, I really do think they can finish top three because they are different. Draisaitl is probably a better pure goal scorer. McDavid is shooting more this year than he ever has, which I like to see. He's close to four shots a game. His shots are going up. So I think I can't see any chance outside of injury that they don't finish 1-2. McDavid's on pace for 58 goals. He's never gotten 50 in a season, 41 twice. He should get 58 this year. That's about his pace. Maybe this pace will slow down. He'll get maybe 52, but I think he'll want to get it. You know, he should get 150 points this year. But when you watch their games, I mean, he drives them in every way. I can't imagine someone voting Draisaitl ahead of him for MVP. It's him, man. And he's the one, he's the fuel injector.
All right, it feels like Edmonton and the hockey world have been waiting for McDavid and the Oilers to have this kind of season for a while now. Why is it taking so long, and why is it happening now?
Yeah, just, you know, roster construction is difficult. You know, you can draft guys, you can bring them in. Some of it's obviously smarts and wisdom and knowing how to build a team and understanding the balance of building a team and what you need and how you allocate money. It's hard in a hard cap era. You can't make mistakes. You know, they gave Darnell Nurse a lot of money after really what will be probably his career year last year offensively, but they had to keep him. He's such a great athlete and he moves so well back there. So, but that can make it tough. McDavid makes a lot, and Draisaitl makes a lot, and Nurse makes a lot, and there's only so much you can do. And then it's hard to get free agents, obviously, to come to Edmonton, and then to keep young guys there, you got to overpay. So that's going to be a drag, and that's going to be a problem for a lot of these non-destination cities. It'll be tough. You got to kind of time it out right. Otherwise, your windows are a lot smaller than a Boston and other places where players want to go to, want to live, and want to play. So it's going to be tougher for them. That's what I'm saying. I think the window is now, and they should probably empty the bucket to go for it this year and give McDavid all he can now, because this is the time.
This might be the time, but when we're looking long term, the Oilers have McDavid locked up until 2026. He signed an 8-year, $100 million contract in 2017. And I mean this with zero disrespect to the people of Edmonton, who were so kind when I was there during the bubble. Very nice people. But I have to ask, is it good for the league to have their best player in a smaller market way up north in Mountain Time Zone?
No, it's just not. It would be better if he was in New York or Chicago or Philadelphia. It just would be, you know, and that's just the way the world works. Same with Matthews. You know, I wish Matthews was in L.A. and I wish McDavid was in New York. And that's just the way it is. It's definitely better because, let's face it, ESPN, when we show Canadian based teams, it's, you know, they don't rate as well. Although I got to tell you, that Edmonton Buffalo game that I called in Buffalo, that was on ESPN Plus, me and Ryan Callahan and AJ Malesko, that got a huge number of streams that night. So maybe it's time to rethink that maybe we got to give those games a shot on American television, ESPN, TNT, and see how it goes.
As we talk about big markets, small markets, stars stuck in some of those markets, it's impossible not to mention that Wayne Gretzky, the Oilers' other singular star, eventually left Edmonton for Los Angeles.
I'm disappointed about having to leave Edmonton. I truly admire all the fans and respect everyone over the years.
Do you foresee a scenario down the line where McDavid leaves for a big city?
I do. You know, it's like these careers are long. Some guys hang around, obviously, and play everywhere. You know, Ryan Getzlaff is going to do it in Anaheim. But of course, he's in Southern California. The incentive to leave the greatest weather in North America, the climate, is where he is. So there's not going to be a lot of incentive to leave. But yeah, look at the impact Wayne Gretzky had on hockey in North America when he went to LA, and how that just the domino effect for kids playing. You see now on the back of hockey cards, born Los Angeles, California. That didn't happen when I was a kid. And so that's the impact, maybe, especially Matthews, I think, as an American kid, and with his diverse background, could really have in the States. But McDavid, whether, especially if it was for a Florida, or even, I guess, again, you don't need more fans in New York and Boston and Philly and Chicago, but especially if he went somewhere in America that, even Seattle, Seattle will have a little bit of a hockey boom as it is, but someone like that would come in, it would have a huge effect.
All right. Again, McDavid and Gretzky, you can't help but compare the two. How would you say that McDavid has filled Gretzky's skates in Edmonton?
I think, again, with his shy, quiet demeanor, which obviously Canadians love, and hockey people tend to love too, and value. It's a value to show humility and to be a little quiet and not be above yourself. So that alone is a good place to start. And then just his sheer talent and how he's different than Gretzky. You know, he's not the same person while still winning Art Ross's and MVPs and piling them up in a similar fashion, and in a different league now where there's a lot more depth and more teams and the goalies are better and the fitness level's off the charts and the league is very young. I think it's pretty cool that he is able to kind of carve out his own thing. I don't see him as in the shadow of Gretzky. I don't see him as that being a pressure on him anymore, because he's almost a made man at 24 career-wise, and now he's just trying to get to his own next level for his own personal satisfaction. It's just about self-satisfaction to him, I think, more than proving himself to others. I sense that's the case. I don't sense a burden on him.
You said that hockey values humility, but the other thing people in hockey value more than perhaps anything else is the Stanley Cup, which is the ultimate currency for a team championship. Our own John Tortorella, the longtime NHL coach, had some comments about McDavid on The Point, which is ESPN's hockey studio show, which you host Thursdays, 3 p.m., ESPN2. And basically he said he thought McDavid needed to alter his game to win in the playoffs. And Torts also called him out for some of his complaints with officiating.
Yeah, and he complained about it a little bit. He wasn't getting the calls. I quite honestly, and I hope I say it correctly, just shut up.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it.
Now, I think it's worth noting that McDavid has not drawn a penalty in the playoffs the last 2 years. But Bucci, you're usually a host, but I know you've got opinions too. What did you think of Tortorella's comments? And most importantly, explain to our listeners how the hockey world reacted.
Yeah, Torts went viral with that one. You know, he likes saying those headline screaming things, which is great for us because we like that in television. Funny, I don't look at McDavid as a whiner, as a guy who complains a lot. We remember Sidney Crosby early in his career. He was much more of a complainer towards referees. He was such hyper competitive. But yeah, I don't think maybe the McDavid stuff is more post game. Maybe it's more talking to the media. And like you said, to not draw a penalty when he is such a physical advantage on everybody else. But I get it. You know, LeBron and Shaq in the NBA, they felt the same things. Shaq was the biggest and strongest. He got fouled hundreds of times in a game. They couldn't call it every time, so they tried to call it as much as they felt it was possibly fair. You know, and so the best player is going to get fouled more than anybody else. That's true in basketball, and it's true in hockey. So I do think there's some – I still can't believe what you said, not drawing a penalty in the last two postseasons is just unbelievable to me. And I think that will change, and the league should have his back more. And overall, I actually think McDavid does not come across as whiny to me at all.
Like Gretzky, McDavid can be a bit bland off the ice, but he did respond to Tortorella, and it was sassy. He said,
I guess I just got to shut up about this.
What are your thoughts on what we've seen from Connor McDavid as a personality in the NHL?
Yeah, you know, I don't demand a lot from athletes in that regard. I think of a couple of the commercials he's done, some have been really good. But again, someone who, a young kid whose talent, and we mentioned being a prodigy, just outweighs his, you know, his maturity and just post adolescence. I mean, he's so young at those ages, 16, 17, 18, and you're getting those accolades and people are saying you're the greatest thing ever. And you're trying to balance that and you want to be normal and you want to be like everybody else. And that was always Wayne Gretzky's goal and Bobby Orr's goal. I just want to be one of the guys and I don't want to be special, but everyone's telling me I'm special. And so, but again, he seems like a bit of an introvert to me, and he needs his space. He needs his time alone and away, because otherwise the energy will get sucked out of him. And he wants to say that for hockey. He wants to be able to do what he did against Winnipeg and do what he did against the Rangers. That's what brings him the most joy. That's where he's the most comfortable. Tiger Woods was always much more comfortable with his hat on than with his hat off. You know, he's 20 years younger with his hat on anyway, but when his hat was on, his Nike hat was on, that's when he was most comfortable. And for Connor McDavid, you know, it's when he has his CCM stick and helmet on. That's when he's his most comfortable.
Personality traits aside, in the end, all greatness of Hall of Fame players are measured of whether they won a title or not. And we've seen guys in other sports, from Ernie Banks to Dan Marino to Charles Barkley, who never got one. And it's always the missing item that we have to point out on their resume. It took Ovi 10 playoff runs to win one. So in the end, which of these paths is McDavid on?
Well, that's a great one, man. I still think in the end he finds a way to get it done. I don't know if it's with this, you know, current Edmonton group. It's still, I wouldn't say a long shot, but certainly less than 50-50. But like I said, I think it's less than 50-50 for just about every team this year. Could he get the right breaks and get the right matchups and find his way through? I do think it's possible. I think he's that great and Draisaitl's that good. But, you know, do they have the goalie to be great for 2 months? Will they make the right trades at the deadline? Will somebody step up in a positive way? He is still 24. He should have 10 real good years left. And like you talked about, at some point, even before that contract is over, he'll look at the team every year. And if he sees any 3 to 4 year dip, that's when he'll either demand his trade or get out and move on to somewhere else and try to position himself to get to a place where he can at least compete for him. So that's all he wants. That's why you want to get it young, so you don't have to go through this and deal with that. To get that cup young, like some people do, you know, certainly for Crosby, it was a great thing to get that thing early. But then it took a while, you know, and then he snuck in a couple more unexpectedly. So it'll be fun to watch. And I'm hoping, again, I really do think they're a great team this year. They have a chance with the right additions, and it would be great for us and great for the league to see him in meaningful games.
Thanks, Bucci. Go get yourself some chicken parm.
Always. Carbo load for the people.
I'm Emily Kaplan. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.